Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Transfiguration gospel story is always filled with so much going on because we follow Jesus and Peter, James, and John up a mountain. Like Moses, when he goes up the mountain to be with God in our reading from Exodus. On that mountain, there are clouds and bright lights. Jesus becomes dazzling. The voice of God comes from a cloud. There on the mountain, we see Moses and Elijah, who are people known to represent the law and the prophets. And they're speaking with Jesus. We watch as awe and fear and a clumsy request to stay right where they are come from Peter and the others. But then finally, we get this amazing declaration. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. This parallels the voice that came from the heavens at Jesus' baptism. Listen to him is added. So there's an awful lot that goes on in this brief Transfiguration Sunday gospel. But what is all of this stuff that we see on this mountainside? What is it really? And I believe that the Transfiguration is a glimpse. See, we don't see it all. There's not enough time to take in the big picture there on the mountain. The Transfiguration, it's just a glimpse meant for us to ponder as time goes on. But what is it a glimpse of? Now, reading commentators and all the rest of that, there are some who believe the Transfiguration is a glimpse of the risen Jesus. When Jesus is transfigured and his clothes become dazzling white, that is a glimpse of Jesus after the resurrection. For these people who believe this, this is Jesus returning to the glory of God the Son. For these, the Transfiguration is a foretaste of the glory that the resurrection brings to Jesus and to us who believe. But it's just a glimpse. Now, there are others who believe that this is a culmination of all of the stories about God's encounters with humans here on earth. Like Moses going up the mountain to receive that Sinai covenant. Like Elijah on the mountain hiding in the cave and meeting God through that still small voice. Jesus climbs up the mountain with his closest disciples to spend time with both Moses and Elijah and with God. And so for these people, Peter, James, and John represent us. And they show us that what we really and truly need is the mediating presence of Jesus when we stand before Moses and Elijah, stand before the law and the prophets, but more importantly, when we stand in the presence of God, following Jesus, absorbing all that is taking place, hearing the voice of God speak directly to us. These are the gifts of Transfiguration. Because there, we are in the presence of greatness. So, which is it? Is our glimpse a foretaste of the resurrection? Or is our glimpse the culmination of God's encounters with humanity? Which is it? And of course, my good Lutheran answer is yes, and more. Because the glimpse we catch at the Transfiguration can be a foretaste of the resurrection. Because here we stand at the crossroads of Jesus' ministry as he prepares to set his face towards Jerusalem. 6 days before this happens, Jesus made the first announcement of his suffering and his passion. And this can be seen as a brief pause so that Peter, James, and John can see what's coming. This glimpse can also be a culmination. Because it cost Moses and Elijah to have their encounters with God. But because of the mediatorship of Jesus, Peter, James, and John can witness it all and not glow. They can hear the voice from God and still have time to ponder and incorporate that into their lives. Peter, James, and John now have an even greater appreciation of Jesus, their teacher, their friend, their Savior and Lord. But while both of these can be and are true, I think that there is more going on. At the transfiguration of Jesus, we catch a glimpse of what Jesus gave up for our salvation. In the letter to the Philippians, Paul quotes a hymn or a poem concerning Jesus. And we read of Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human form and likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. In this poem, Paul shares that Jesus emptied himself to be with us. He emptied himself to save us. And here on the Mount of Transfiguration, we catch a glimpse of what Jesus gave up in order to save us. To save us. Jesus gave up being with God except through prayer. The clouds, the bright lights, the dazzling white, they can represent Jesus before the incarnation. But God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is relationship. It's a relationship with an intimacy that we can only imagine. And Jesus gave that up for us. The Law and the Prophets, instructions to love God and love neighbors, a pleading that we might care for the cast out, for the least and the lost, for the widow and the orphan. Jesus went from giving that instruction to living under it. Jesus came and promised to fulfill the Law and the Prophets through his living and dying and rising. The Jesus that we see on that mountain, the Jesus that Peter, James, and John see and then walk down the mountain with, gave up all of that and more for our sake. None of the dazzling, none of the awesomeness, none of the name dropping, none of any of that was important to Jesus. What was important to Jesus is our salvation. What Jesus really hopes that we will pay attention to in this story is the voice, especially when the voice says, listen to him. Because listen to him is the victory cry of transfiguration. The glimpse that we get today, brief though it is for Peter, James, and John, and through them for you and me. The voice from the clouds is for us as well. And that voice is a voice of triumph and victory, not for Jesus, but for humanity, for us. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. In saying this, God is recognizing what Jesus gave up so that God might be incarnated, that God might become one of us, to know us fully and completely. This is God recognizing the life that Jesus lives, the help and care, the teaching and healing, the feeding and listening that Jesus does, showing all who see what God's love looks like. Listen to him. This is God pleading with Peter, James, and John to see and recognize Jesus, but then to listen to him, hear him, learn from him, follow him. Why? Because this is Jesus and the victory is won. Because in Jesus, sin, death, and the devil are defeated. In Jesus, the devil, the world, and our sinful selves hold no sway. And so today, in the middle of our gospel reading, Peter is right. It is good, Lord, to be here. In this moment, glimpsing that foretaste of victory, standing in the presence of God and heroes, it is good, Lord, to be here. But Jesus knew that this is not an end in itself. The transfiguration is not an end in itself. They had to come down from the mountain. And we get to go out into the world because the end isn't here. Now here is good. Heck, here can even be great. Here, we are with Jesus. We are in the presence of God. We are hearing and learning from law, prophets, from the gospel of God's love in Jesus. Here, we meet Jesus, really present here in the sacrament. Here, we listen as Jesus, the incarnate Word, speaks to us in Scripture. Here, in and through our sisters and brothers, we meet and know the love of God. It's good to be here. But out there is where we're needed. Out in the world is where our neighbors and friends, our families, strangers, all the people who need to feel the love of God, that's where they are. And this is what the listen to Him, learn from Him, follow Him is for. It is to this that it points. God is with us through the mediatorship of Jesus, and God walks out into the world with us so that the love flows, so that the kingdom grows, and so that we might make God's vision into our mission. Amen.